Morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody here this morning. This morning we continue our journey through a book that I had read recently. And you know, some of you now have it and have purchased it and hopefully have read through some of it at least. It's a small book. It's called When Mountains Won't Move, How to Survive a Struggling Faith. Last week we talked about the Rockies of Faith. Those times that God has put us and allowed us to go through storms of life, has allowed us to reach the bottom of the barrel, you know, nothing left but up, for us to start searching, for us to start climbing the mountain, for us to have the faith that will be able to move mountains. And this morning, we talked about the next step that we're going to be talking about is embracing weakness. And sometimes it's a hard concept for us. You know, sometimes where I grew up and as I grew up in the high school that I grew up, when you showed any type of weakness, you showed yourself to be weak and therefore were preyed upon. You know, people pounce upon that opportunity, the chance to prey on the weak. And yet, spiritually speaking, we need to realize that first, when we talked about this morning, that we are weak in the sense of we are helpless. We were helpless in our sin. When we are in sin, we are completely useless, we'll say, in the eyes of God, because we have not had that sin washed away. We have not been freed from the burden and the life and the death, which is sin. So we are slaves of it, and we continue to live that way. But once we're freed from that, we are set free, and we are now slaves to righteousness. But even those who are Christians, even those who have joined the kingdom of God, who have put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of faith, you know, they have their sword, the word of God in their hands, and they're ready to battle the spiritual battle that is going to take place. What do? Sometimes we look at ourselves, we see some sort of flaw within ourselves, we see something that we're not good at. We think that God can't use me in a capacity like He's using somebody else, and we're always looking outwardly. We're always looking to compare ourselves with other people, right? We're always looking to show this person does this, and he has such a great faith, and I can't speak that well, or I can't do those things as well as he's doing. I can't teach as well as he teaches, or I can't sing as whatever it may be. And we start, you know, diminishing ourselves, and we start putting ourselves so low that we become useless because our mindset has become such that we are useless. But there are times when it seems like our faith can't get us through the day, right? We're maybe struggling with something, we may be going through something, and we want to have the faith to make it through. You know, when a storm of life comes, we want to have the faith that says, I can conquer this. You know, I can get over this mountain. You know, I'm in a slump right now, but I have the faith to get out of it. And yet, sometimes it seems like we can't. You know, we're struggling, we're fighting, we're drowning, and we have nothing to hold on to. And I want to read this morning, as he reads in the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, that Jesus goes on the mountain and he becomes transfigured. And we know that the apostles go up and they see not only Jesus transfigured, but they see Moses and Elijah. And when they see that, they're looking to start building an altar to all three of them. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah, they're gone. And God's voice, can't imagine what that would feel like, being up on a mountain, seeing Jesus transfigured before your very eyes, seeing Moses and Elijah before your eyes. One question is how they know it was Elijah and Moses, but another question for another time. And you see that, they disappear, and God speaks. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, I always think of one of those deep southern accent voices of God. You know, just kind of when he speaks, shuddering, you know, the ground. You think of when Moses went up to receive the Ten Commandments, and lightning, and storms, and it was a fearful, you know, fearful event, because God was up there doing something great. And when they come down from the mountain, here's where our story begins. They come down, they witness this, they tell of what they've witnessed, and we get to verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. What's the first problem we see here? Why could his disciples not cure him? God had earlier given them the power to do what? To heal people, to cast out demons. They had that power to do so. And this man then, running out of options, he thought the disciples could help him. He comes to Jesus and he says, please heal my son. Your disciples could not do it. So Jesus is going to go and he's going to heal. Verse 17, he says, Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. You know, this is an annoyed Jesus. You know, a lot of times we talk about Jesus, the loving servant that he was, showing compassion. There were times when Jesus got a little perturbed. He was a little upset. First, and what we're going to see, is that this person is coming to Jesus pleading as if he wouldn't heal his son, it seems. And that, secondly, his disciples couldn't do it. Wait a minute, I gave them the power to do it. I gave them the ability to do it. Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus. This is after all the commotions going on. You know, they healed Jesus. You know, Jesus, you know, they kind of wait for the crowd to die down, and they get Jesus alone. And they come, and he says, why could we not drive it out? You know, I know you gave us the ability to, but why couldn't we do it? We tried, and I'm sure, you know, I can just imagine the scene. The disciples, well, no, okay, Peter, you couldn't do it, I'll try. You know, and the next person couldn't do it, and the next one lines up, and he tries, and try, and over, until none of them could heal. None of them could drive out the demon. And so they bring him before Jesus, and Jesus does so, and they ask why. You know, sometimes when we're in the storms of life, sometimes when we're down in the deeps and it seems like we can't get up, we just go to God and ask, why? Why can't I get out of this? You know, you've told me that when I pray to you and when I'm doing things that are right and when I start walking that path, that I'll grow in more, you know, grace and favor, and I'll grow in my understanding, and my life will start becoming, looking more like your son. I'll begin to transform my life. I'm no longer walking the old way. Why can't I defeat this? Why can't I get over the mountain? What's wrong with me? And here's Jesus' response. And I want us to think about this. Because sometimes Jesus becomes our last option, right? God becomes our last ditch effort. I couldn't do it myself. I couldn't do it on my own. And I don't know what to do. And time goes on, until you finally fall before your knees before God. If you were here last week, you got to hear my story. I won't have to go into that again. I won't have to suffer through that again. But there was a time in my life where I should have went to God first. And when I finally went to God, things started looking up. And I started taking those opportunities that God was putting before me and hopefully taking them and growing. Taking them and doing what God gave me. He put things in my life to strengthen my faith after I called out to Him. And so Jesus is going to respond. He says, and He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, because of how small your faith is. Can you imagine something? I want to talk about David for a moment. David, when he was on the run from Saul, and he was constantly being chased, pursued, who was the person he put his trust in? God. He had nobody else, really. He had some people who came with him. But, you know, if it wasn't for God, there would be times where David would not have escaped the hands of Saul. He'd go to God and ask, hey, if I stay here, is Saul going to come and is he going to kill me? Yes. If you stay, you know, he's going to come kill you, and the people are actually going to deliver you out to him. So he left. You know, he put that faith and trust in God. And it's interesting when you go to 2 Samuel chapter 1, when Saul dies, David starts taking on the responsibilities of king. He doesn't have the full kingship yet for 7.5 years. He only reigns, you know, in Judah, and then, you know, all the tribes come underneath him. But you see this David, during when he defeated Goliath, who did he say did that? He said, God what? Allowed me to kill the bear and kill the lion, and God is going to allow me to destroy this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, who is blaspheming the name of God. God's going to allow me to do this. And when you get to the chapter before Bathsheba, and I know it's interesting, but I think the words are in there for a reason. It says David, it goes through all of his battles that he was winning and winning and winning. It says, and then David made a name for himself. David made a name for himself. And the very next verse says, now as when the kings are out to war, David stayed home. When the kings are supposed to be out on the front line, David stayed home. And that's where he has that run-in with Bathsheba on the roof. And we know the story, what happens from there. David made a name for himself. He started putting in trust. And that's why I see, from 2 Samuel chapter 1 all the way until Bathsheba, I see David slowly losing his grip on his faith and trust in God and putting more and more in himself. That's what I see when I read. It's not until Nathan comes to him and says, what are you doing? What's going on? And David falls to his knees, and the rest of his life is nothing but what? Back to faith and trust in God. But David needed to go through that. A man after God's own heart had to go through a storm, had to go through hit rock bottom, had to go through something. He committed adultery. He killed somebody's husband because he wanted to be with a woman. I mean, you can't get much worse. I mean, you can, but there's not many. He was in it deep. And when we talked about God's grace this morning, guess what? He was forgiven of those things. He was able to come back. He was able to put his faith and trust back in God, but somebody had to go to him. Sometimes we need that. And so Jesus is coming to the disciples. He says, because your faith is so small. Your faith still isn't where it needs to be. Your faith is not there yet. That's why I believe in John chapter 16, when Jesus is saying, I'm sending the Helper to you. You can't yet understand these things. You wouldn't comprehend them right now. If I told them to you right now, you'd be like, what? You know, and in John chapter 2, when he says that, you know, when he flips the money changers' tables over, he says, in 3 days, I'm going to tear this temple down and build it back up. And John even writes, we didn't understand what he meant until after the resurrection. We didn't understand that. So they needed to go through their own trial basis period. And so we're in the midst. He says, your faith is so small. He says, but I say to you, if you have the size, if your faith, the size of a mustard seed, the smallest seed. I mean, if you just had that much faith, you could tell this mountain to move and it would go. You could have healed this person if you had faith. For some reason, I have a belief, and I can't, you know, say this for sure, but if I was given miraculous powers, right, if I was given the ability to heal, first, I'm very thankful for those things. I can heal somebody. I can cast out demons. I can do God's work. You think after a while of doing that, it starts becoming me casting out demons, me healing people, when really, if you go and look at Daniel, every time Daniel interpreted a dream, guess who he gave the credit? He says, I'm not interpreting the dream. God just gave me the ability to do such. And God could use Daniel over and over and over again because he realized it was all God. Maybe the disciples thought it was not more on them. And so, and I get that from this statement. In verse 21, he says, but this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. When you pray and fast, who are you petitioning? You are petitioning God. We've done a lot of sermons and talks on fasting before. That fasting is to show God, I'm willing to sacrifice things. I'm willing to put myself through persecution and suffer for a while to petition to you. That's how important this is to me. He says, but you lack in faith. What had they just witnessed again on the Transfiguration? What had they just came down from? Seeing Jesus transfigured, seeing Elijah and Moses, seeing them disappear, and seeing God's voice call out and say, this is my son, to show that Christ is more than is more important than Elijah and Moses. He's the focal point of our faith now. And you walk down from that, and they don't have enough faith to cast out a demon. That boggles my mind a little bit. Yet their faith lacked. It was small. And sometimes I think the disciples had to hear this. They had to go through this to realize that if they're not careful, if they don't put up, we'll say, barriers with themselves and keep remembering and keep in remembrance of themselves where their strength comes from, where their power comes from, they're going to lose it. Right? What does Paul say? I can do all things by myself. I can do all things because, you know, God has just given me this great ability to speak, and so I'm doing it. You know, God gave it to me, but it's all me now. No. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, I have learned the secret of being content, whether rich, poor, you know, under persecution, whether having no persecution and complete comfort, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's the secret to life, realizing your strength doesn't come from yourself, it comes from God. Embrace that weakness, because when we humble ourselves before God and put ourselves before God and say, God, I can't do it without you. We couldn't. If you think you can get through life without God, you're sadly mistaken. And I'd love to talk to you about that. And we'd love to talk to you about that. But once you humble yourself before God, James says, then God will lift you up. You remain exalted. You remain humble. But God allows, then can work through you. Right? Blessed are the meek. That word meek is not weak. It doesn't mean you're a pitiful old man who can't lift anything. It means you are controlled strength. That word comes from actually taming a horse. You know, a meek horse is still just as strong as it was wild. But how good is a wild horse? It's not very good, but when a tamed horse can be used, its strength can be controlled, and now you can move your carts or you can do whatever you need to do with farming. But a wild horse, you're not going to have very good luck. Same thing with us. We don't lose strength when we become a Christian. We don't just all of a sudden, you know, just, well, I'm so weak, I can't do anything. No, you submit that you need God's help. You need to come before God, and He can use you. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for a moment. What happens when we're having those types of thoughts? You know, when we're coming before God, we're trying to, God, if you would just take this sin out of my life, if you would just take this one thing, you know, away from me, and I'd be good. I'd be all right. I could get through, you know, whatever it is. You know, there are people who, God, I need to speak better. You know, I wish I had better English. I wish I had, you know, not wasted all my years in English. I wish I could write better. I wish I could speak better. And, you know, there are times where God, just give me miraculous, you know, the understanding of the English language. Well, that doesn't happen, and God doesn't do those things. But sometimes, for me, there can be times where I have an issue of pride. It can be a proud thing to be able to, you know, when people compliment you on your preaching and your sermons and your classes, you can start building yourself up. And it's funny, when I start building myself up, my head up, and then I go back and, you know, I teach the next week's lesson, and I'm, you know, my head's this big, I go back and listen to him, I'm going, man, Jesse, you know, you're not that good, right? You're not that polished. You're not, you know, there's a lot you need to grow in. There's a lot you need to work on. There's a lot you need to go through. Yet, I just built myself up to a point where I thought, it's all me, right? They're here to see me. They're here to listen to the great Jesse Nelson. You know, they're coming from, you know, 40, 50 miles away to come and hear me. No, they're not. And I'm just, now I'm going over the top here. I've only had that thought once. It was yesterday. Anyway, and so you start putting this confidence in yourself. And as soon as you start putting your confidence and faith out of God, that's when you fall. That's when you trip. That's when you stumble. And that's when you go down. Thinking it's me. You know how it does that? Because you're constantly looking at others. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. At least I'm not so-and-so. At least I don't do the things that so-and-so does. At least I dedicate more time than so-and-so does. You know, I'm raising my family better than so-and-so. I know the Bible better than... Wait a minute. This isn't a comparison. This isn't a competition. This isn't... Your faith has nothing to do with my level of faith. You know, I'm not going to hold you under the water, so myself comes up a little bit. That's not what it is. And now we're going to see Paul here. Paul had some sort of, he entered into the heavenly realm. He had some sort of out-of-body experience here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I can't explain everything that happened, and I'm not going to try this morning. But there's something that's bothering Paul. There's something that's suffering. It's causing him to suffer. Some people think it's a physical, when he says a thorn in the flesh. Some people think it's physical because that name, the thorn, is a physical something that's bothering you physically, yet we forget about euphemisms that we use. You know, a thorn in the flesh. When I say Wendell's a pain in my side, you know, he's not literally coming up and poking something in my side. Wendell, you're not a pain in my side. He's not taking a knife and pointing it in my side. I just mean that, you know, it's a metaphor. It's something that I'm using to show how I'm feeling. And Paul, whether it's a physical thing here or a spiritual thing, I think Paul coming out of this spiritual enlightenment that he just had, you know, going into third heaven, having an outer body experience, I have a hard time thinking something physical that was stopping him or him wanting God wanting to take away. That's me. Some people think it was blind eyesight or something. I think it was something spiritual. Just me. And one thing that I told my dad, I think it was last night we were talking, the night before we were talking, I said, I'm kind of glad that Paul never told us what the thorn in the flesh is. I'm glad. And maybe God did that for a reason, so when we read that, we all kind of come to our own, we kind of put ourselves in that equation. We all kind of think of our own thorn in the flesh at that moment. The thing that's bothering us, we want God to take away from us. You know, God, if you just remove this, these thoughts that I have that causes me to go here, or these thoughts that I have, I have such a past that caused me to speak this way or to think this way or to always have this thought when this thing happens. If you just remove my past. And here's what God's going to say to Paul. He says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. There's something about this three times. David prayed to God three times. Jesus went to God three times, and Paul's going to God three times. There's something about this three that, you know, after you're done praying it for three times, if it doesn't happen, you know, I don't know if you need to continue praying for it or not, but he says, and he said to me, this is what God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. What did we talk about this morning? This gift that God has given us in grace. This gift that is undescribable. I mean, unfathomable. Why would God, you know, we were like dirty rags, Isaiah says, before God with our own righteousness. We don't deserve it. You know, Psalm 8, who is man that you think that you've done anything for us? You think of us at all. Why don't you just stay up where you're at and leave us down here in the dirt to, you know, be like pigs and kind of grovel around in the dirt? Why are you trying to help us? We've done nothing to deserve that. Well, first God made us in His image, right? God loves us. He created us. He desires that spirit back. And so God's going to say, my grace that you have received is sufficient for you. I'm going to keep... I have a feeling that Paul could, you know, when he says, I discipline my body daily, there is something that Paul was struggling with. There was something that Paul was going through. And I think it may have been pride maybe with Paul. Paul could have had an issue with being pride if he didn't have this thorn in the flesh. If he didn't start, you know, if he lost his faith and trust in God, he could easily go back to, look at my credentials, right? Pharisee of Pharisees, you know, studying under the feet of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers there was at that time. You know, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was it, right? He was the one they sent out to get rid of this Christian problem, this the way problem. This little, you know, pain in their side. He's the one they sent. He's the number one guy. He's the one who was laid before, Stephen was laid before his feet to be stoned to death. And they presented it before Paul, or Saul at that time. I mean, he had his credentials. He had the Spirit easily. Whatever the thorn in the flesh is, I want you to think about your own thorn this morning. This own thing that you think is keeping you from taking your next step in faith. This thing that you think, well, you know, God can't use me because of this, because of my own thorn. Once we embrace weakness and also then embrace God's grace and say, God's grace is enough for me. God doesn't have to take this away from me for me to be a useful servant. Whatever this thorn was, it didn't stop Paul from being a useful servant to God. It didn't stop his faith. He grew. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, I will rather boast about my weakness. Paul says, I'll talk about it. I'll boast in it. Why? Well, here's what he's going to say. so that the power of Christ may dwell within me. Whatever this weakness was going to stop him from humbling himself before God, was going to stop him from allowing him to realize that it's Christ's power and not my own power. Whatever the thorn was. That's why I have a hard time thinking it was just eyesight. It was going to stop him from trusting and putting his faith in the Almighty Creator. Therefore, I am well content with weakness. I'm content. I'm content that I'm not the best speaker in the world. I'm content that I'm not the most intelligent. Doesn't mean I'm not going to grow in those things. Doesn't mean I'm not going to try and get better in my speaking and my writing and things that I, even my pride. I'm content with that. I'm going to know that it's there, embrace it, that I have a pride issue sometimes. But I'm going to use it for God's advantage, not for my disadvantage. Well, I have too much of pride, so I can't preach. Right? I'm just going to stop preaching until I deal with this pride issue. I'm going to deal with whatever issue it is. I'm just going to stop preaching until I'm perfect. Well, guess what? I won't be preaching ever if I wait that long. He says, therefore, I'm well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. Whatever somebody throws at me, whatever they try to do to me to bring me down, whatever I try to do to myself in my own mind, sometimes we're our own worst enemies, aren't we? We bring ourselves down. We realize if I just had a different attitude, I could walk up that mountain easily. I've got legs. Let's get up there. Let's crawl. If I've got to crawl and I've got to, you know, climb trees to climb this mountain, I will do it. God has given me the ability. He's given me the strength to get up and to walk. Even if I walk with a limp. All right? I'm going to get up the mountain. I'm going to make sure that my faith is strong enough to do what God has asked me to do. When God has put me in service, in 1 Corinthians 12, it says God has placed every member in a position that he so desires. He says, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. And I need to say, okay, I can be used. I can do it. Even with this weakness that I have. Even with this thorn in the flesh. Maybe one day I'll conquer this thorn. Maybe one day I'll conquer it. But right now, I need to realize that I'm going to serve God and realize it's God's strength, not my own. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Once we realize we were helpless, we were without God, we were without His grace and mercy, and there was nothing that we could do about it. But then we realize He sent Jesus, that free gift of mercy, grace, and love for us to be redeemed back to Him. Once we realize that, we accept it, and we have that faith, and we start walking that walk, and talking the talk, thinking the thoughts, you know, we're transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says we are transformed into the image of Christ. Not conformed to the world. We transform. We grow. Humbling ourselves before God, James says, that's when we draw near to God. Resist Satan. Resist the devil. And draw closer to God. And He will draw closer to you. Can you imagine just thinking, the more I grow in my faith, that God said He's going to draw closer to me? What's stopping you from growing in your faith? Do you not want God and have a greater relationship and a greater fellowship with God? Start growing up. Start maturing. And guess what? It starts now. It starts right this moment. No more excuses. No more, you know, pity parties for myself. I can't do it. I can't do this. I can't do that. Just start thinking what you can do. And God says, He's asked me to do it. Obviously, He's not going to tell me to do something that I can't do. Right? You know, I just think of Moses. Go and speak. Well, I'm not a very good speaker. Wait a minute. I made you, and I'm asking you to do something. You don't think I know what you can do and can't do? Would I ask you to do something that you couldn't possibly do? No. Jesus even came and did everything. You know, Jesus was willing to go through it all. If we want to move mountains, if we want to get up the mountains, and we want to have a faith that is strong, we look at people like Paul and Daniel and David. They had weaknesses. They had things that stumbled. They stumbled over, yet they grew through. They didn't allow it to just stop them and just say, woe is me, I'm unworthy, and walk away and do nothing. They allowed those opportunities. They took those storms, and they grew from them. There's two ways to handle a storm, right? A storm, you can allow it to destroy you, to sink you and to drown you. Well, I'm in a storm in the middle of the ocean, so I'm just gonna sink. You have arms, did you know that? And these feet that can move, that can keep you above water. Are you gonna fight? Are you gonna survive? And are you gonna grow? This morning, if you have not the ultimate embracing weakness to realize that I'm a sinner. I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God. I am helpless and I need Jesus Christ in my life. If you haven't yet accepted Jesus, if you have not washed away your sins, if you have not yet been freed from your sin, you can't even start moving up the mountain. You can't start going anywhere in your faith because sin is still a problem. Sin is still crouching at the door. It's in your house and it's overtaken everything. You need to remove that. And you can do that this morning if you come forward and you are baptized into Christ, or moving, and you clothe yourself in Christ. You repent of your sins. You want to walk that new walk. You want to talk the new talk. You want to have the faith where God can use you. You can do that this morning. And this morning, for those who have gone through the storms, who have been entered in the kingdom of God, yet going through a storm in their life, going through something where they feel like, I've got this thorn. I've got this weakness that I can't seem to overcome. I can't seem to shake, so I'm just not going to be useful to God. I'm just going to wait until I can conquer this. Embrace that. Embrace your weakness. Recognize you have a weakness and say, God, strengthen me. Use me even though I may not be perfect. Use me even though I can't do everything right all the time. Use me even though I'm going to say the wrong thing. But when I'm talking to people about the gospel, there are times where I open my mouth and I go, oh, why did I say that that way? And I push people away. I'm not going to allow those times to stop me from ever talking about the gospel. I'm not going to allow the times where I tried to go love my brother enough to resolve this conflict. Well, it didn't work. He didn't accept it. Therefore, I'm never going to resolve another conflict again. Wait a minute. Something has bad happened in the church. Well, we allowed this to happen once, and we're never going to allow it to happen again. Therefore, we're going to cut off whatever. We do those things, don't we? Because we're scared of weakness. We're scared to stumble. We're scared to fall. But God is there to pick us up. God is there to strengthen us and to help us move. This morning, if you have any need, we ask that you come forward as we stand together and as we sing.
Who at the door?